I trust that you're excited about what God is going to do, what he is doing in your life, what he will do through this year. And at the end of last year, we spoke about hope and peace and joy. And I said then that as we entered 2020, we would look at love. And I know I'm a bit slow on things, but it wasn't until Janice sort of mentioned 2020 that I realised about the vision and people talking about it being a, you know, when you go to the opticians or if you fly jets, you're supposed to have 2020 vision. It's probably not too good if you haven't. But we need to have 2020 vision. And the love that comes from God, the love that we should have for one another. Here in Biddeford, we're just a small part of God's family. There are other churches within the town that seek to share God's love. And as we heard at the beginning of the service, we're part of the Southwest Baptist Association, which is part of the Baptist Union, which is part of the World Baptist Alliance. And that's only one small section. I remember when I was at Bible College and we were doing church history, one of the people that I was quite friendly with had grown up in the Brethren Church. And he said, you know, you grow up thinking your church is the church and it's all what happens. We did a year of church history and the Brethren's got about 10 minutes mention in one lecture. He said it puts it in perspective of for each of us of how small we are when we think of God's church and what has gone on. For Christians, we are one because of what God has done for us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The love that flows from him to us. And this is how we know in Romans 5. Verses 6 and 8. We read there, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man some might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." God demonstrated his love through Jesus. And then again in the chapter before the one that Kezia read to us in 1 John 3:16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And you probably remember more John 3:16 rather than 1 John 3:16. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And I think sometimes we sort of stop there and forget verse 17, which says, "For God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." And sometimes people get the wrong impression. Quite often people get the wrong impression of God and his love for us. The command to love one another apparently appears 11 times in the Bible, and Jesus states it 3 times. But he demonstrates it in every way. As we said a fortnight ago, it depends what version of the Bible you read as to how much joy there is in your version of the Bible. Well, it's the same with love. And apparently the least number of times love is mentioned in any version of the Bible is just over 500. The most is in the New Living Translation, which is just over 800. So it seems that love is important to God. It's essential and should be to us. We worship a God who is love. Everything he does comes out of love for us. There are times when we may not recognise that love. It may be seen as tough love, but God is love. And as we heard, as John wrote it twice in that passage that we had in verse 8, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And then in verse 16, and so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. And as a result, he can do nothing about that, because it is his character, it is his being, that God is love. And anything else would go against that character. Because God is love, then we are encouraged, now commanded, to love one another. And as we said, Jesus states it three times, all in John's Gospel, John 13, verse 34 and 35, and then in John 15, in verses 12 and verse 17. And it occurs 11 times in the Bible. We have no choice but to love one another. Verse 7 of our reading lets us know about the love for one another and why we should love one another. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Love comes from God. And John leaves us in no doubt as to why God, or how God showed his love for us in verses 9 and verse 10, where he says, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. He sent Jesus. He sent Jesus for us. You may or may not remember that we've just celebrated Christmas. That time when we remember that God sent his Son, that God sent Jesus into the world. And I wonder, have we grasped the significance of it? Have we grasped the fact that Jesus was prepared to leave his Father's home, all that heaven has and is, and come to this earth to be at the mercy of human beings? First of all, to be placed in the care of a young couple. They do say that becoming a parent is one of the things that you don't have any training for. You can get qualifications in all things, but people don't actually think about it too much before they become parents. And there was this young girl and her husband presented with this child in very difficult circumstances and told to look after him. I don't know about you, but when Sam and then Kezia were young, we went through the motions of thinking who would we like to look after them if anything happened to us. And it's very difficult, if you're honest. Who would you entrust your children to? And if you think about that, and then you think that God Almighty entrusted his Son to a young couple, you begin to realise the love that he has for us. But not only that, because Jesus knew that when he came into this world, he came to die. And he came to give his life. He came to suffer. In our place, condemned, he stood. Hallelujah. What a saviour. He died a gruesome death to atone for our sin and our wrongdoing, to repair the damage that was caused by sin, and give each one of us that opportunity to have a living relationship with him and with his Father. And it means that none of us have to pay the price for our sin, because he has done it. He has paid that price. We sang, "What kind of love is this?" It's a love that we can only begin to understand, and I don't think we will fully understand. but we need to receive and to accept what he has done. I read something yesterday morning, a comment that said, we have to realise that we cannot earn or win anything from God. We must either receive it or do without it. We can't win or earn anything from God. We must receive it or do without it. God loves to give us good gifts, and the greatest is Jesus, which demonstrates his love in an amazing way. Verse 10 again. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. And because of that love, John says that we ought to love one another in verse 11. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And Jesus in Mark chapter 12, it says there that one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating, noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer. He asked, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And then he goes on to say, the second is this. Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. No commandment greater than these. One of the comments made about the early church by some people who observed what was going on was see how they love one another. See how they love one another. And the question we should ask ourselves is, could that or is that said about Biddeford Baptist Church? Because people are watching. People see what is going on. You might not realise it, but people probably know more about you than you think. And that's not just on the internet. That's around in your neighbourhood. They observe. Somebody I trained with to be a Baptist minister, he was the minister in a seaside town not too far from here. He had been, before he became a Christian, he'd been high up in the karate world. And his dream job was to coach in Japan. He became a Christian and very quickly went to Bible college. Just before he started Bible college, guess what came through his letterbox? An invitation to go to Japan to coach. He said he wobbled a bit because it's what he always wanted to do. But he ended up going to Bible college and then coming down to Devon for his first church. He got involved amongst the down and outs and the drug addicts in that particular community. He was the sort of person who would give anyone his last penny. One night, walking back home, he took a shortcut down an alley. Somebody down that alley came out from the darkness with a knife and said, give me your money. To which he replied, I don't give anyone my money. Nobody takes it from me. I do give it, but nobody takes it. And the man said, give me the money or I'm going to cut you. So, being who he was, he took off his jacket and he said, if you want my money, you're going to have to take it. To which the man looked at him and said, you're not supposed to do that. You're the Baptist minister. This man knew who he was. Do we demonstrate the love of God not just to one or two, not just to a selected few, to our friends, to those that we find it easier to get on with, or to everyone, regardless of who they are. It has been said that one of the tests to see if you really love people, if you really love your neighbour particularly, and that can be a test. We've had some interesting neighbours. I don't know about you. But maybe you're an interesting neighbour. I don't know. But we've had some. But I heard a few years ago that one of the tests is after this service. If you go home and you turn into your road and you see smoke coming out of a building and fire engines in the road, and you think, they're outside my house. And you drive down the road, and as you get closer, you realise they're not outside your house. They're outside your neighbour's. Do you feel relief, or do you feel the pain for your neighbour? How much do we love people? Do we love one another? Those within the fellowship, those outside the fellowship. How is that love worked out in practice? We can say we love one another, but is it carried out in the way that we live, the way that we respond to others? Paul, writing to the Ephesians in Ephesians 5, in the first four verses, he says to the people there, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving." Be imitators of God. It was very popular a number of years ago, and I know some people still wear them, those bracelets with those initials WWJD. What would Jesus do? Be imitators of God. We are his disciples. And in Jesus' time, a disciple was someone who followed his master closely, who walked behind him, learnt from him. They even felt the dust from off his sandals as they walked behind him. They stayed close. They witnessed everything. I know we say people should follow the Lord Jesus Christ and not us, and that is right. But just think for a moment. If people did follow us, what type of Christian would they see? And what type of Christian would they be? For many we meet, maybe in our families, the workplace, neighbours, friends, we may well be the only Christian that they meet or know. So what do they see of Jesus and his love for them? Again, Paul writing to the Philippians, this time in chapter 2, verses 14 to 16, says, "Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life." That is what we should be doing. Shining like stars as we hold out the word of life. God's light and love must shine in us and shine out of us to our fellow believers here within the church, to those that we meet during the week, not just a few, but to all. Again, this week I came across something where one writer put it, "Many Christians tend to be like the Dead Sea. We're happy to let the love of God in, but not out." We are to be channels, not containers, where God's love flows through us rather than just stays within us. Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love and everything else that that song says. We should let that flow through us and out through us. I haven't noticed, but I don't know whether it still happens around Biddeford. Is there any milkman left? No, no, no. Does anyone remember milkman going round? Yeah. Oh, well, there you go. Well, this is the, again, another story. We're often like milk bottles that get left on the doorstep. And you know if they get left on the doorstep, what happens to them? They smell. Yeah, they begin to smell and they go off and they're undrinkable. It's only when the milk is used and the bottle is put out and sent away to be refilled that it's of use. And that's like us. We should receive from God so that we can pour ourselves out for others to be refilled by Him so that we can do it all over again. When you put the lights on, if one bulb is out in a place like this where there's a number of bulbs, you might be okay. Two, depends how dark it is. But the more that go out, the more difficult it is to see what's going on. You begin to notice the difference. And it's the same in the church. If some people are not shining, showing the love of Christ, then you notice the difference. As we experience the love of God and benefit from us, let us show that love. Let us share that love with others here within the church and who we meet, not just in the coming weeks, but all at all times. And as we think about the love that God has for us, as we think about the love that we need to share with one another, we need to treat everyone with love. And starting next week, decided to start looking at the churches in Revelation, where God speaks to them and says what's good and what's not. And as we look at those over the next 7 weeks or so, ask God to speak to us about what's good and what's not. Because it was the angel of God that spoke to those churches. And I believe that he only spoke to them because he loved them and he wanted them to be better. And he wants us to be better. He wants us to be as good as we possibly can be. He loves us as individuals and he loves us as a church. And as Max Lucado said about us as individuals, God loves you as you are, but he loves you too much to leave you like that. He wants you to be like Jesus. And that's what he wants for us as individuals. And if we as individuals are like that, then the church will be like that. If one or two are not, then the church is limping along. Everyone has to play their part so that we can be the best we can possibly be, experiencing God's love and demonstrating it to all that we meet. Let's pause for a moment with our own thoughts and prayers before God. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Amen. As we draw our time to a close, we're going to sing a song as a benediction. And perhaps I could suggest that we sing it once through, and then after we've sung it once through, we sing it again. And if you're not averse to it, you could even join hands as a sign of just being united with God. So let's sing that. Let there be love shared among us.